Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here today. Thank you, Ronnie Price, for the leading our congregation this morning. Choir, ladies, thank you for doing a great job as you always do. And it's certainly good to be here today. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. Don't feel like a visitor, but feel at home. Be a part of us in this worship service this morning. Thank you. We're going to do something just a little bit different this morning. I want to tell you something first before we go any further. This past week in my life has just been incredible. And the reason I say that, no, I didn't come into no substantial amount of money or anything like that. But it all started Sunday night. Our associational revival was a, I don't even know if I've got words to describe what it was like. There was folks shouting every night. Every night. People were saved. And church, if you've ever wanted to feel honor about one of your own, Clint Smith knocked it in the upper deck. I mean, he let the Lord use him, and it was a tremendous blessing Tuesday night at Concord. And the choir, you just can't believe what it was like. If you missed it, you missed it. And it was a holy ground experience. It was just unreal. And then we lost someone in our church that loves this church very much, and we all love Margie very much. Say this. If a funeral can be good, that was a great funeral. Salazar, too. I mean, it was one of those holy ground moments. And so I've just been rejoicing and happy, if you really want to know the truth. I love that feeling. And so I asked Mitzi if she would come this morning and sing Holy Ground. And I want all of us, while she's singing this, would you stop and just reflect in your life all that He's done? The times that He has allowed you to truly stand on holy ground? Mitzi, come ahead.
As I walk through the doors, I sensed His presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here, and we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. holy ground. In His presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know that He has the answer. So reach out and claim it. You are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know
Thank you, Missy, Regina. Thank you for playing for, and thank you, church. Now, in keeping with this, I want you to turn to the third chapter of the book of Exodus, and this is going to be that. This is going to be the story of Moses when he got to holy ground and stood on holy ground. And I hope that we'll leave with a little bit something different about that than we perhaps never thought of before, never seen. I know some of you thinking, oh my goodness, you know, preacher, this is one of those old Bible stories we've heard forever and ever. But I guarantee you, if we'll open our hearts and minds and let God renew something to us, let it be afresh to us like we've never perhaps seen it before, you might be amazed at what God may speak to your heart and say to you and give you understanding in something that you have never absolutely ever thought about ever before, about an old passage of Scripture that seemingly sometimes that we think we know front and back and back to front and every angle that you could probably ever turn this story into. We feel like sometimes we know it that well. But the thing about it is, God through the Holy Spirit always makes things new. These Old Testament stories and New Testament stories that are old as can be, but yet when God refreshes and renews our heart and mind and draws us close to Him, and we gain an understanding about some things that perhaps we had never even thought of before. So in the past few weeks, I told you that we were looking at things that get us out of the ruts of life, especially in a Christian rut. We can be Christians and get in ruts sometimes. I asked you a few weeks ago about how your laboring was going in life, working for the Lord. And last Sunday, we talked about the stages that we could be in and taking bold steps for God and how we need to do that. And then today, we're going to look at a man that you talk about probably had gotten in a rut, so to speak. Moses was there. Let me read the passage before I just don't even read anything. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even unto Horeb. That same thing as Mount Sinai. and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, excuse me, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh, either. Don't come any closer, is what he's saying. Take off your shoes, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Now, that's all I'm going to read. And there is tons and tons more to this story. But hopefully we'll see the point in just this right here. Because Moses had a burning bush moment. I like to have burning bush moments in my life. Does everyone have a burning bush moment? No. Can everyone have a burning bush moment? Yes. That's what you need to realize. You may say, well, preacher, I've never had a burning bush moment. I don't think I ever will. Well, let me tell you this. So let me begin by saying this about it. If you literally look somewhere on the side of the road and are waiting for God to flame up some old white pine that's dead and start talking to you out of it, you're probably going to be disappointed. You're probably absolutely going to miss it. And I'm going to show you why when we look at this, okay? I believe that everyone in their life, in the life of a Christian, can have a burning bush moment. The thing about it is we fail to seize the moment. And I'm going to tell you something else, and I am guilty of this. I am speaking to me as much as I am speaking to anyone in this building. You will not be able to see the bush when your head is like this and your fingers are like that. Amen? Amen? It's just the truth. And I told you I was as guilty as anybody. The reason we don't have burning bush moments sometimes is because we do not see what God is doing, because we are so preoccupied in our life. And it doesn't have to be the gadget. It can be anything that you let preoccupy your life that separates you from being consciously aware of what God is doing. My goodness, don't you... Listen. Oh, me. I got to hurry because I could preach a long time and I bet y'all can tell. Listen. Everybody is trying to figure out, and everybody's trying to give us an idea of what's going to fix this problems in the world that we live in today. There was an answer given to every one of the problems that we have in this world 2,000 years ago. And some new little congresswoman or man just didn't come up with some idea that would fix all of America. God's had a plan that would fix it all along. The thing about it is, we just won't go with His deal. We don't need some new deal. You just really need to go with the deal that He's already offered. Because it's the one that will truly change humanity. It's the one that will truly change the hearts of people. And once you get the hearts of people changed, you'll have the nation of people changed. Folks, that's just the truth. I mean, my goodness, you go all the way back into the Bible, and the way we live and act and do that ain't nothing new. Absolutely not. Story after story. People just like we are today. And you know what? There was somebody that come along and was always going to fix the problem. You know, they thought if we grab a hold of this or grab a hold of that, it'll fix it, but it didn't fix anything. the Lord has an answer if we just really turn to Him. He's got the answers in our life if we would just really turn to Him. But here we get, let me get back to Moses now, okay? All right, Moses, at this point in his life, do you know how old Moses is? He is that, what did we call them? What did we call y'all a while ago? Ageless wonders. Moses was an ageless wonder. He is 80 years old right now. He was 40 when he killed that Egyptian. He left and he fled for his life, and he has stayed over there 40 years. Got married to a woman, Zipporah, marries her, and he has lived for 40 years over there, raising and tending to his flocks every day, going out there looking after those flocks. You talk about a man that probably just settled into a rut of life and thought, he was probably a grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever. Life is going along. He's satisfied, you know. He's just getting up and doing everything the same day, the same way, every day. Everything looks pretty good. For 40 years, this man has been doing this. Looks all right. He's amassed probably some wealth through his animals and taking care of them. He's provided for his family. There's food on the table. Evidently, his wife's happy. You know, you don't really know where she's complaining about nothing. So life must have been pretty good for Moses. Everything was going along pretty good. But then all of a sudden, Moses is out there looking after that flock, taking care of it, and boom, all of a sudden, Moses looks over here and he says, wow, there is this bush on fire and it's burning, and I'm out here in a desert land where really if a bush is on fire, I should just see it consumed and gone, burn out. But that's not what happened. It keeps burning. But now listen, this is the thing that I think sometimes that people miss. This is why I'm telling you that you have, part of it's your own fault if you never have those burning bush moments. Because listen, I read that passage of scripture to you, and Moses is walking along, and you just imagine him walking along. He's walking down through there, and all of a sudden he sees out of the corner of his eye, and then it says that he caught his eye so that he come to it and he begins to look at it. And then what happens? This is the part about, this is where every one of us has got to be. God looked and saw that Moses saw. That's where we fail sometimes, people. God saw that Moses saw. Do you get that? God gets attention, and then the Lord sees. You know what he says? He says, I see that Moses, I've got his attention, and he is paying attention, and he is looking at me. The reason people miss those burning bush moments is because God tries to get your attention, and you ignore him. I ignore him. That is exactly the way this passage, the way this story is playing out. He sees it. God then sees that Moses sees what God has done, and then he begins to speak to him. Somebody said again, somebody all the time, people say, well, you know, preacher, if I just had that burning bush, if God just spoke to me like he spoke to Moses, I would do this and I would be involved in this and I'd be a missionary to China and I'd be all over everywhere doing everything for the Lord. But he just hadn't done that in my life. You hadn't let him do that in your life is really where the problem lies. Because I guarantee you he has done everything to get your attention. Listen. There is not a single one of us in here today that could claim Christianity and claim to be a child of God if God hadn't got our attention, and then he saw that he had our attention, and then we moved to him. Now, is that not the truth? It's absolutely the truth, folks. So why would it be any different then in once we become a Christian? And we want to have those experiences, and we want to experience God, and we want to know that God is real, and we want to know what God is saying to us. Well, God is trying to get your attention a lot of times, and you're just not paying attention. You're not looking. we're too preoccupied. I'm too preoccupied. I wonder sometimes, you know, do you ever think about it would be amazing to know how many blessings that we all miss in life? All of us, me, you, every one of us, because we're preoccupied. Reckon how many blessings you have missed. Reckon how many blessings I have missed in life because I was too preoccupied. I had too much going on. I was too busy doing this, too busy doing that. Sometimes I get too busy in ministry. Somebody said, "Whoa, you can't get too busy in ministry." Yes, you can. You sure can. I can get so busy thinking I'm doing the thing that's going to be the right thing that I am really not paying any attention to what the Lord is saying. That's the truth, folks. So, he sees that he's got his attention. And when he gets his attention, God calls him by name. Not once, but twice. He says, "Moses, Moses." I mean, he has got him and he's got his attention. And listen, when God gets your attention and when he gets my attention, he will speak to you. Oh, no, it may not be the audible voice like you and I talk in, but he'll find a way to speak to you. He'll find a way to speak to you, speak to your heart. And all of this, and you know, then when we sang that song, it says, "Well, let's just praise Jesus now," and because we're standing on holy ground. And you know, if you go back and you look and you think, well, this song was based probably on this passage of scripture right here. And where's Jesus in this? Well, Jesus is in this when God made the promise to Moses that he'd always be with him. Because if you go back to the prophecy of Isaiah and what Isaiah said when he made the statement that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, "God is with us." That's what he said. Jesus is with us. That's why we can praise Jesus now, because he is with us. But now the climax really of this story is the fact that Moses got to stand on holy ground. And I ask the question, does everybody have a burning bush moment and a standing on holy ground moment? Well, perhaps not, but can you? Yes. Yes, emphatically yes, I believe that you can. Is it going to happen every single day? Probably not. You know, I mean, look, folks, I'd love to see things just that wow and awe and everything every single time that I meet, every single time that I preach, but it's just not always that way. Pentecost did not happen every time they met. You know what I'm talking about? The Pentecostal experience, and I'm not talking about denomination, I'm talking about what took place over in the book of Acts. That does not happen every single time that those people met. It was an extraordinary time that God revealed himself in a very special way. And will God do that from time to time with you and I? Yes, he will. He sure will. He sure will. May not be every time that we meet, but sometime from here and there, he will. Well, all right, so Moses is there and he's realizing with God, have you ever had an awe moment where you're just kind of struck by whoever you're in the presence with? I know we're getting close to time, but you're with me, I can tell. And just hang with me, okay? One time, it's been about, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe over 15 years ago. Now, this is just a story, but it's a true story. George Jones, he's going to be at Lanierland Country Music Park. Some of you looking at me like you don't know who George Jones is. Well, you can see me after church, and I'll explain it to you. I found out he was going to be there. I went and bought tickets. I seen Brenda Jones, who owns the music park, who owned it. And I told Brenda, I said, "Brenda, I'm coming to see George Jones." She said, "Ronnie, do you want to really see George Jones?" I said, "I got a ticket." "Yes." She said, "No, do you want to really see George Jones?" And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I hope she is saying what I think she's saying. She said, you be there early before the show starts. And she said, I'll take you backstage and you can personally meet George Jones. Whoo, I got excited. I mean, you know, and I got there early that night. And we got on around there, and I went to that front office and told him, I said, I'm here to see Brenda. And Brenda come out and said, come on, Ronnie. We went around there, and man, I got to stand right beside a man that had been on national television, won all kinds of awards, sold millions of albums and everything, got his arm around me, got a picture of me. He even autographed a picture that says, to Ronnie. From George Jones. Okay? Now that was a pretty exciting moment. But I want to tell you something. I told y'all that there's a point behind all this. I did enjoy it. I had a lot of fun. It was great. But I want to tell you something. That's probably as big a starstruck person, I guess, that I could ever lay claim to just really shaking hands with, standing beside, having my picture made with, and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, and I mean this with all sincerity and with all truth in my heart, it has never compared to what it was to stand on holy ground with God. As much as that was a moment in my life, there has never been nothing that I could compare to you what it is like to truly stand on holy ground with God. Absolutely nothing. And that's where Moses is. And then the Lord calls and tells him, says Moses, you know, remove your feet. Well, now Moses would have known, he would have saw the temple priest in Egypt, they even back then, they would have probably removed their sandals and everything. And a lot of people have said that, well, Moses done that out of respect. Moses done that because God told him to. Read the story, folks. There's a lot of commentaries out there that'll say, well, Moses removed his shoes because he was out of respect and all this, that, and the other. God told him, Moses, take those shoes off of your feet. Now, I want to tell you what the significance is about that. He said, Moses, remove those shoes from your feet because the place you're standing is holy. This is holy ground. Now, think about this. What was the Lord saying? About that much, maybe that much, is what was separating Moses from holy ground. It's amazing in your life and in my life. Sometimes we think that it's these big old monstrophagous things that perhaps we've done or whatever that separates us from God. That we are so far from God. That we are so far away from the Holy Ground. And the truth of the matter is, probably most of the time we are that close. But you know what we fail to do? Take the shoes off. Now, let me tell you, first of all, I want to get one thing out of the way. I can kick my shoes off. I can throw them to the back of the wall. I can hit the wall. I can make you duck with them and everything else. And that means absolutely nothing. Until I have stripped myself of self. Until I have removed whatever the barrier is between me and God. That's how I come to stand on holy ground. When I remove whatever it is that is hindering me from God. You can pull everything off and throw it and do all you want to with it. And that is not going to be... I mean, listen, folks, I'm not being critical. I know that you get in a good Holy Ghost rally or whatever, you're liable to do something you hadn't never done before. I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I am saying that just kicking your shoes off for the sake of kicking your shoes off, because I'd go on and tell you this. If you really want to get real technical about it, if you're a man, ladies, I don't know, you know, what about your socks? You know, it's a thought, isn't it? You know, did you go ahead and pull them off? Or did you just get down to your sock feet? Well, then you was just still, you know, like a micromillimeter away from God, right? I hope you get what I'm saying, folks. I hope you understand me. I hope you understand that it's not all these actions and things, but it's stripping you, it's stripping away self and getting self out of the way in order that you can be in the presence of a holy God. And that's what you have to get out of the way. These old number 12s ain't never hindered me from worshiping God. They ain't never gotten away at all. I'm talking about my shoe size. They ain't never hindered me from worshiping the Lord. But boy, I tell you what, self has. About that much to about that much. So close and yet so far. You ever heard that old saying? So close and yet so far. Isn't that the truth? Sometimes we are so close to holy ground sometimes, and yet we're so far, and our only distance is that right there, because we will not strip self out of the way. That's all it is. Okay, I'm gonna get it closed up. At best, a quarter of an inch separated him. And like I said, close but yet so far away. That's the story with a lot of people. And let me tell you what. If you're here today and you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ, do you know how close you are? Do you realize how close you are? No, Moses in them shoes, that's how close you are. You're right here in a place that's been designated to worship and praise the Lord. In this building that you and I are gathered in right now, this place has been set aside and dedicated just for that. This altar right here has been set aside and dedicated as a place where you can come and pray. You are that close. And yet, if you don't turn your attention towards Him. You are so close and yet so far away. What about you this morning, today? Would you put the pride out of the way? Pride can be the shoes. Arrogance can be the shoe. Self-will can be the shoe. Will you remove whatever's hindering you? Because this, let me tell you this. This is what God is saying. This is what God is saying. Remove the shoes. That's what He's saying to every one of us in here today. Now, if you're here and lost, He's saying remove the shoe. He's saying remove whatever it is that is hindering you and stopping you from coming to accept me and trust me as Lord and Savior and have a personal relationship with me. He's saying remove that. And then to you and I as Christian people, whatever it is, whatever the barrier is that's hindering you from standing on holy ground, He's saying to you, to me, take it off. Remove it. Get rid of it. Because this place you're standing is holy ground. God bless you. You know what? I don't know if that meant a thing to anybody here or not, but I sure did enjoy it. I'm just going to be honest with you. Everybody stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here today, you've never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to come while we sing this verse of song.